Vineyard Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from the movement.
Well, good morning. How are you? Come on, I can't see any of you. I know you're there. I can't see any of you, but I want to hear you this morning. How are you doing today in church? Yeah, good? Are you excited about what God's going to do in your life? Yeah, listen, there's a couple of things that you need to know about me. I've been married since I was 12. It's a true story. Met my wife in junior high. I was like, you're the one. Put a ring on it because I liked it. In the words of the theologian, Beyonce. I liked it, so I put a ring on it. Great, great theologian, Beyonce. And and so we've been married for 14 years. Hallelujah. Got that. All right, 14 years. We've been together for 16, about to be 17. I've known my wife half of my life. I can't move, dress, eat, function without my wife in my life. So she is my cutie booty, and her name... You're welcome. And her name is Jessica. So she does like hugs, long, awkward hugs, not side hugs, inappropriate front hugs. And so make sure that you love her. Because the sound guy never gets any props, right? Never, until something goes wrong. Then everybody turns around and they give him the stank face. You know what I'm saying? They turn around, they're like, you know, they give him the look and they shoot lasers at him. And so love on the sound people, even if it's not my wife. They deserve it. do you got your Bibles? Huh? Do you have your Bibles? Turn on your Bibles, because I know what generation I'm talking to. Turn on your Bibles. If you are an OG and you got a paperback Bible, that's awesome. I have a paperback Bible, and I have a big one because I like big Bibles, and I cannot lie. There's going to be a lot of that today. Settle in. just a quick disclaimer too, as we read, go ahead and turn to John 15. And so I'm going to try not to digress, but, John chapter 15, and just a quick disclaimer. I was a youth pastor and a young adult pastor back in Texas. So if at some point it seems like, I break out in Tourette's, it's not because I have it. It's because I'm used to making noises when I preach. So if I start going, you know, or I start sounding like Chewbacca or something like that, it's not because I'm losing my mind up here. It's because that's the way that I process. So just please know that and don't judge me. Deal? Yeah? Come on, say yes. Turn to someone next to you and say, it's going to be good today. I hope you liked your seating choice, because you're going to be talking to your neighbor a little bit today. That's, I like loud churches. So we're going to get loud today, if that's okay. Nope. It's going to be great. All right, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to read the first 8 verses that are in John chapter 15. And then just TiVo that, and then biblically back that thing up over into Joshua. Tough crowd. All right. We're going to read John 15 real quick. Are you ready? Say yeah. All right. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. In other translations, it says that my Father is the gardener. All right, so just keep that in mind. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So you're snipped if you do, and you're snipped if you don't. That it may bear more fruit. And I feel this, not to be weird, but I feel this in my spirit. Listen, some of you may feel cut off, but you're not cut off. You've just been pruned back. And it's not that you've done anything wrong to separate yourself from the love of God. It's that he's pruned you back so that you can grow greater. Hello. And so here we go. Look at that. Sorry, that was free. Look, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Say abide. Say abide. Yeah. Vocal. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me And I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You see, there's a thing happening with this word abide. I want you to see that. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are all burnt. Verse 7, if you abide in me, there's that word abide again, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now let's go back to Joshua just really quick, and then we're going to dive into this thing, if that's okay, yeah? And I promise this may not make sense up front, but hopefully it will make sense to you when we get in the middle of it. All right, we're going to read the first three verses of Joshua chapter 6. Okay, you got to say yeah. All right, here we go. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. Now, just real quick, fast forward to verse 15. I know it's a lot of scripture, but I'm laying some groundwork. Look at verse 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. Come on, say same. All right, let's pray real quick. Father, we love you and we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that the grass withers and the flowers fade, Father, but your word is everlasting. It stays forever. Lord, I thank you that it's always true and it always reveals who you are in our lives. So, Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would show us Jesus, and we would see you in a great way. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. All right. I have found that the world is absolutely obsessed with change, with bling, right? Come on, talk to me a little bit. With bling, the next big thing. Have you noticed that? You know, the new iPhone 6 came out, the Plus, and everybody lost their minds. It looks like everybody's carrying. I got one. It looks like everyone's carrying a iPad around and talking on it. Like it's ridiculous, but it's the next big thing. It's the bling. It's how you know you've arrived, and the world is yelling at you. The world is yelling at you that you have to arrive. You have to arrive. You have to arrive. Right? You have to, your finances, they have to be a certain place, or you haven't arrived yet, or your kids have to act a certain way, you know? So unfortunately, some of our kids act like demons. They spur, you know, my daughter, for example, she's not a demon, but she doesn't get her snacks, she acts kind of like one. She loves Cheez-Its. And if I do not have Cheez-Its in my house, she's like, Dad, can I have some Cheez-Its? And yes, Abby, because she holds my heart. I love her. And she's, I'd love to give you some Cheez-Its, but I don't have any right now. What? You know? Sprouts wings. You know, she starts doing that thing right there, just wings and gargoyles. She comes back in the corner and she's like, you know, doing that sort of thing. She loses her mind. She loses her mind. And unfortunately, the world is saying that if your kids don't act this certain way, or if they're not adapted to the culture that's around them, they haven't arrived yet, or you're not a good parent yet, or let's say if you're not driving the latest Mercedes-Benz, you haven't arrived yet. But it's funny how kingdom principle works, because kingdom principle tells us that in order to arrive, you have to abide. In order to arrive, you have to abide. Why is that? Because when you arrive, if you don't know how to abide, when you arrive, you won't know how to stay there. So it's important that in your walk with Christ, in your spiritual, in 2015, as we move forward, listen, this Stronger series has been so challenging, and it's been so great. The 21 days, right? Who's been doing the 21 days? Good. Well, that's not something that ends today. That's just a stepping stone into more direction into your future. You understand that? You go deeper into God's word. You go deeper into the things that he wants for you. And the thing is that you stay consistent. And that's what I want to talk to you today, because you can do all these things for this 21 days. You can do all, you can experience great things in God. You can experience a healthier way of life. You can experience exercise and all that good stuff. But none of it is going to matter unless you stay consistent. Hello, if you're going to clap. Listen, it's not going to matter unless you stay consistent. Why? Because practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Come on. The way that you practice something is the way that you're going to repeat it over and over and over and over again in your life. Huh? Does it make sense? And so I found that we've grown obsessed with change. But the problem is that the glamour that change shows us falls away somewhere because we can't be consistent in the things that we need to change in order to stay where we're supposed to stay. And when I was a parent, I have two kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. My son is 10, and he will beat you in basketball and take your girlfriend. That's what he does. And he's a stud. Get used to it. If you got a daughter in the room, just hide her. Hide your kids. Hide your wife. You know what I'm saying? My son's coming for you. He's a stud though. And when he was first born, I remember. Do you remember parents in the room? Do you remember the absolute excitement of having a first kid? If you haven't had kids in the room, then I'm sorry. I'm already doing something that Communication 101 says not to do, but I'm disconnecting a little bit. But parents in the room, do you remember the excitement of having that first kid? Huh? Everything was new. Everything was exciting. You know, it was like, you know, when they threw up, you're like, ah, you know, it was so exciting. And even when they went to the restroom, it was exciting. You were like, oh, little boo, 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 boo. You start doing that weird thing. Like, I don't know if you did that, but I did. I'm like, don't even stink. You know, you're like, this is awesome. This is awesome. And my kid would do something. My kid would do something whenever he needed to be changed. You know, he would do whatever he was doing. And sometimes, you know, it's like, draw your own conclusion. And I'd look over and I'd be like, oh, man. And then something would happen. He'd cry. He'd begin to cry, which drove me nuts, which made me want to go change him, right? So we change him, and he gets a little bit older, and he's still wearing diapers, but something interesting happens as he's getting older. He's still going to the restroom the same way. But he's gotten comfortable, so he doesn't cry anymore. So he just starts kind of walking funny. And that's the only way I know. You know, we're sitting there and he starts doing this thing right here. This thing's sagging. And you're just like, what's going on with this guy? And you're like, oh, I know what it is. Hey, he needs to be changed. But he got comfortable in the mess that he was in.
Lord Jesus.
He got comfortable in the mess that he's in. And he stopped crying out for change. Oh, do you hear where I'm going with this? Do you understand that a lot of times we settle into the messes that we have in our lives. We settle into the same. We settle into the ungodly consistencies in our lives. And because of that, we get comfortable in our mess and we stop changing. We stop crying out for change. We stop asking God to do something different in our lives. Why? Because I have to come to church every morning because that's, you know, every Sunday because that's what I do. Don't really get anything from it, but it doesn't really work. No, it's not that it doesn't work. It's that you don't work it. Hello. Come on, we start worshiping. We start worshiping. We let our preference dictate our praise. Well, they didn't sing the song I like. They're not. They didn't say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know worship was for you. I'm never going to preach again. Come on. Come on, get with me for a second. It's true. We get comfortable. We get comfortable in the same things that we do all the time. See, I was a little conflicted about preaching what it is I'm preaching on, because you're probably going, well, I thought we were talking about consistency. Huh? You know? We are talking about consistency. There are negative consistencies that you don't need to have in your life. Come on, there are negative consistencies that if you don't change those things, then you're going to be stuck in the same place that you've always been stuck in 2014. You're going to look exactly the same in 2015 as you looked in 2014. And then you're going to get mad at God because he didn't do what you wanted him to do in 15 minutes of a sermon when you messed up the 15 years of your life. Come on, you've had 15 years of bad habits and you want God to fix in 15 minutes what you've planted in for 15 years. And you get upset, but the problem is that you haven't changed anything. You're consistent in the things you don't need to be consistent in. Are you tracking with me? Are you tracking with me? Come on. Listen, look at this. I did not wrote down some of the things that some of the bad sameness, I suppose. The bad consistencies. You know, the stagnant kind of sameness. Where you settle into something because it's comfortable. We just kind of talked about that. But the truth is that God never called you to be comfortable. He never called you to be comfortable. You can have peace in the middle of discomfort. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we look to Jesus, like that scripture says, we can have peace because we know who our centrifugal focus is in the middle of distress. Hello. So there's the stagnant kind of sameness, and there's the stupid sameness. Keep going back to the same thing that keeps hurting you and hurting you. You just touch it. Hot stove. Ah, woo, hot stove. Hot stove. Hot stove. Ow, 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 ow. Stupid. It's stupid. One motivational speaker says that if you consistently do something that doesn't work, hoping for a different result, it's actually insanity. It's stupid. You know, there's so many things that I want my life to be based around and the same. There's goals in my life. Like, I want to raise my kids loving church. I don't want to be somebody who my legacy is that I leave my kids with the critical view of the 9 different churches that I didn't like because I didn't like the way the preacher preached or the worship leader was or because the pastor didn't talk to me all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to leave them with that legacy. I don't want to leave them with that legacy. I want to leave them with something that's not stupid. Look over at your neighbor and say, don't be stupid. Oh, man. The third one, stubborn sameness. Stubborn sameness.
Well, this is just who I is. It's just my personality. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just being me. Well, maybe you shouldn't be you anymore. I think some of the worst things that we can say to somebody is just be yourself. No. No. Don't be yourself. Let God change who you are. That was the point of Jesus to begin with. If we didn't need to be changed, he would have never sent Jesus. This is just who I am. I don't know why no one likes me. Oh, it's because you're a jerk. And Proverbs says that if you're nice, you'll have friends. Come on. It's the truth, right? It's Bible. It's Bible. And I know these are practical things. But listen, oftentimes, it's the small things that we need to get more consistent in that will change the big dreams that we have in our lives. It's the small things, like being nice to somebody that when they walk in the room, you're like, oh, no. Oh, man. It's like Eeyore walked in the room. Debbie Downer. You're like, man, I just got a raise and a promotion. They start breathing all heavy. I just don't know about life anymore. What are you talking about? Like, didn't you just get a promotion too? Yeah, but it's just not the same. And you're just like, okay, well, I choose to love you anyway. I love you. You gotta make those decisions, right? You gotta make those. Don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. Change. It's not. Don't fall back on your personality trait. And the fourth one is scared sameness. We're afraid to move into the godly consistency because we're afraid that we might fail or we might just kind of stay the same. It's the afraid of change. But you know, you gotta understand, but in order to stay stronger in 2015, to reach the goals you've set, you have to develop godly consistency in your life that will propel you towards your destiny. You have to. I probably won't get past this first speaking point, but I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes, I want you, please take notes. If you don't, we charge you for the pen that you came, that was in your seat. We charge you. We rent the theater. All right. If not, if you take notes, you can have it for free. Look, write this down. If you resist the monotonous, you'll miss the miraculous. If you resist the monotonous, you'll miss the miraculous. John 15:4-5, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit from itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I need you to know something. One of the greatest enemies to godly consistency is convenience. The easy thing. Because let's face it, abiding is hard. No one likes to hear, hey, wait a minute, right? This might take a while. We want to come into church and we want to rub our Bible, Get some of that God luck running in our veins. Lord, please. And then immediately it's ours. It's like fast food. It's like God is a McDonald's or something, and we can get a double cheeseburger immediately whenever we want it. But that's not how God works. You understand that in the first verse of John 15, it says that I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. We want to look at God like a genie when really what he's saying is I'm a gardener. I take my time. It's a process. It's the process. See, it's the process that we resist that will stop the promises in our lives. It's the process. Nobody likes the process because the process is hard and oftentimes it's unglamorous. It's not what we want to do. We would much rather do something else. We'd much rather have it's convenient. I'd love to go to church, but I'm just so tired because I was irresponsible and stayed up late watching Netflix. It's just easier to stay home. Just go to sleep, wake up refreshed. But that's not what consistency is. In order to grow, you have to be consistent. In order to get stronger, you have to be consistent. Listen, if you miss out doing the monotonous, if you resist the monotonous, you'll miss out on the miraculous. That brings us back to Joshua. God tells Joshua and the Israelites, I got to hurry, but God tells Joshua and the Israelites, so he gives them crazy, crazy marching orders. Crazy. Nuts. So you got to understand, Joshua's grown up with the Israelites. Moses was there and he's been with the Israelites as they've walked through the wilderness and he's seen them. And you got to understand something about the Israelites. They complained all the time. They complained. They complained about everything. They pray for food. They get quail. They're on a low carb diet. They get tired of that and they're like, we want bread. And so Moses goes and prays for bread and manna comes down. They get unhappy with that. There was no pleasing them. All they did was murmur and complain. And so they walked around a wilderness for 40 years, and it should have took them like 14 days or something like that to get to their promise. Come on, can I tell you what one of your biggest adversaries are going to be with getting to your promise this year? It's not watching what comes out of your mouth. The Bible says a life and death is in the power of the tongue. That means whatever you speak life into is what's going to live. Come on. If you keep saying, I'm never going to be able to lose weight, then get comfortable because you're never going to be able to. Why? Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Come on, the words you speak hold power. That's why it's important that you be positive in your everyday life. That you choose yourself forward. That's one of the things that we say here at the Movement Church. You choose yourself forward. When I don't feel like saying something positive about somebody, I'm going to say something positive about somebody. I'm going to love them. I'm going to tell them they're the best thing in the world. Don't lie to them. Like if they need to be called out on something, then, you know, if they're doing heroin, you need to tell them, hey, don't do that. It's going to kill you. But you understand what I'm saying. Love them. If they get on your nerves, love them anyway. Come on. If things are going wrong, your car broke down, you're having a tough time. Hey, listen, you know what? God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, first, not last. I am victorious. I'm not a victim. I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed coming out. I don't feel blessed. That's good because we don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. Come on, there's an answer for everything. There's an answer for everything. But it's what you practice. Remember, it is what you practice. So have you guys ever heard of Odell Beckham? Joe's shouting me down. He's a Giants fan. You ever heard of Odell Beckham? Dude's a bad man. Listen, I don't know if you... some analysts are saying... I'm about to show you a clip. But some analysts are saying he made the greatest catch that has ever been in the NFL. I got revival starting on the front row. Come on, can we show him that clip? Can we show him that? Look at this. Look at this. And it's against the Cowboys. I'm sorry. All you Cowboys. Look at this. Look at this. Nuts. Hold on, slow motion. Hold on. We're gonna see. Yeah, what up, boy? All right. Look at this. Slow motion. Absolutely ridiculous. My goodness. Is that not crazy? Now, hold on. Now, that's great. I know. It's insane. You know, when I first saw that, I was like, what a lucky freaking catch. What a lucky catch. There is no way that he will ever do that. That's the right place, right time, right? Right? Oh, this is luck. He, you know, all the forces of nature and the universe, as planets aligned and everything was like perfect, and I just can't even believe it happened. But look at this. They caught him in practice. That's the same catch. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. One-handed. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. One-handed catch. Now, it only looks lucky.
Jesus.
It only looks lucky whenever the lights are on. But I'm so glad that they showed that, because he practiced what it was that they saw when it was game time. He was practicing the very thing. It wasn't lucky. It wasn't something that he was hoping or he just stumbled into. He literally practiced what it is. See, listen, the next time you see somebody's life and they're blessed and they're living life and it's awesome and it's incredible and they're living with peace when they shouldn't have peace, when they're not frustrated when they should be frustrated. Listen, they worked for that. They practiced for that. It wasn't something they just showed up with. They worked for it and they practiced. It's not lucky. It's like, oh, well, I wish I had their luck. No, it's not about luck. They practiced the presence of God. Come on. You can practice, but it's going to feel monotonous sometimes. But listen, God will promote in public what you practice in private. So the things that you do in private, God will let that happen in public. But the adverse is the same. If you don't practice it, listen, you can't get mad. You cannot get mad about the reward you didn't get because of the seed you didn't sow. You can't. You got to do the monotonous to experience the miraculous. So how do I do that? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you some practical things. Is that okay? The first thing you need to do, listen, and getting consistent, getting stronger, and building this consistency that's in your life. The first thing, come on, write it down. The first thing you got to do is get started. Get started. Well, I don't know how to get started. Make a plan. Come up with something. Get moving. Gosh, if you feel like you want to get connected to the dream team, but I don't know how to approach somebody. I just don't understand.
I'm not outgoing, and I get nervous. I just don't like people.
Well, you're gonna have an issue at this church, because we love everybody. Just get going. Go to a welcome to church party. Get plugged into the dream team. Come to a dream team rally. Do something. Don't just stand there being idle and then complaining about the blessing you don't have. Come on. You guys still like me? Is this okay? Everyone's like, I hate this. It's a weird haircut. Looks like Macklemore. What's wrong with that? See, the truth is that when God gave Joshua the marching orders, it was nuts. It was crazy. It seemed too big. Truth is, Jericho was small. It just had big walls. And oftentimes, the things that hold us back the most is the first small step that we have to take. Because the opposition around the first small step seems so great. I want to encourage you to get started. Romans 8:28 says this, if we can pull it up. Romans 8:28, it says that all things work together for the good. All things work together for the good who love God and are the called to his purpose. Paraphrase. All things. God never promised it'd be easy. He just said it'd work out. Take the first step and let God. Proverbs says that you make plans, God directs your steps. But you got to make plans before he directs your steps. Hello. Come on, get started, get going, get moving, do something, get connected to the church. The second thing is get determined. Get rid of the excuses that have held you back in 2014. Get rid of them. I can't work out because of my knee. Well, go get on a bench press. It doesn't involve your knee. Go work out.
Well, I can't change the way I eat. You don't understand my working schedule.
Well, then get a little bit more prepared and plan ahead. Yeah? Come on. You can change who you are. You can change who you are. And I feel a little bit like a hypocrite preaching this message, because I'm preaching a lot to me. You got to understand this preaching thing. That's how it works. My grandpa, who's one of my heroes, told me one time, he was like, son, if you ever struggle with finding a sermon to preach, just preach from your weakness. You need to understand that when I'm up here preaching, I'm preaching it myself. I'm not up here. I don't sit in my room on a pillow and gold dust falling and angels in the background. You know, I don't have that happening. I don't float in to a room. Neither does Pastor Kerry. Neither does none of the pastoral staff. None of us. We live this stuff. It's the way preaching works. Huh? And that's what I'm saying, that you can change the things that you need to change this year. You got to get determined, though, in your life. You got to know what God has said about you to derail what the enemy is saying to you. One guy. Powerful. It's okay to clap in church. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Man, thank you. All right. Ephesians 6. Do we have it? Do we have it? Do we have it? That's okay. Oh, praise God. Look at this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what's that say? Stand therefore. When you've done everything you know to do, you've done all the right things, and you still feel like you're failing, don't stop being consistent. Because just because you can't see fruit doesn't mean it's not growing. When you plant a seed in dirt, come on, as long as you're consistent in doing the things that that seed needs to grow, it may take time. And that seed may take time growing. But you understand that you can't just plant seed in, you can't plant seed in just anything. You can't plant it in concrete. You can't plant it in just water. You can't do anything like that. You have to plant it in dirt. You have to plant it in the soil, in the mundane. But you understand that miraculous comes out of the mundane. Come on, God's not scared of your mess. God's not scared of your mess. Matter of fact, when you read it in Scripture, Jesus ran to people with messes. He never ran from it. And that's the very last thing. That's the very last thing. The third thing that you can do to be consistent is just get over it. Just get over it. Well, you don't understand how I failed in the past. Just get over it. Just get over it. You know, my son, when he was about 3 years old, my wife was having like, it's called Southern Living. I'm from Texas, so we have things called Southern Living. And it's basically where you sell plates and knives and forks and whatever. And I'm in the room, and my son was sick. He had the flu. And so my wife is out having a party and doing whatever she was doing, and I'm in there, and my son is laying next to me. And I go to the restroom, and I hear this noise. It's crazy noise. It doesn't sound human. I'm like, that was weird. I don't know what that was. I walk back out, and I smell the smell. You know the kind of smell that you taste? You walk out, and you're like, right? You walk out, I was like, what is that? I didn't say it like that. I don't know why I said it just like that. What is that? I didn't say it like that. And it's more like, what is that? Manly. I looked down at my son that was in my bed. He has just projectile. He's like, just thrown up everywhere. Thrown up everywhere. I'm talking about everywhere, all right? Like walls, carpet, ceiling. Like, he's like, just lost his mind. Just lost his mind. And I walked out, and he's just sitting in his mess. Just sitting there. And he looks up to me, and he goes, Dad. Now, what's interesting is that I did not look at my kid and go, no! You get up and you clean this mess up. That's not what I did. I went over to my son in the middle of his mess, in the middle of whatever junk he was in, and I picked him up, mess and all. I carried him to his room. I laid him down in his bed. I changed his clothes first, because that would be gross. Changed his clothes, laid him down in his bed, Stayed in his room till he fell asleep. But I wasn't done after that. You know what I did after that? I walked back to the room. And I cleaned up the walls. And I cleaned up the floor. And I cleaned up the bed. And I cleaned up the pillows. I cleaned up the ceiling. I cleaned up everything where a mess used to be. Because listen, your father, no matter what your mess is, no matter what you came in with, no matter what you feel like you're setting in this moment, listen, your father is not scared of your mess. He's there to reach down and lift you up into his grace, take you to the place that you're supposed to be. And not only will he take you where you're supposed to be, but he'll clean up where you've been. He'll clean up where you've been. And right now, just with every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You'd say, Jeremy, I'm in one of two places. I've never accepted Christ into my life. You know, there's this gap that Pastor Carey talks about quite a bit, and it's called the sin gap. And Jesus came to bridge that gap between you and eternity. And in this moment, no matter what it is, listen, God loves you. He so loves you. That's what John 3:16 says. He so loves you. No matter what it is you feel like you walked in here with, what mess you walked in here with, he's here to pick you up. And if you'd say, you're in one of two places, you'd say, Jeremy, I've never accepted Christ, or Jeremy, I haven't lived the way I know I'm supposed to be living. I haven't been trusting God, and I've just kind of been trusting myself. I've been inconsistent. If that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if you just lift your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything like that. But if you say, I just want to, today's the day for change. I want to accept Christ into my life. If that's you, can you just lift your hand, please? I see that hand. Anyone else? Well, let's just pray this together. Let's pray this prayer together. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it in your heart. And say, Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending your son to die for me. I just pray that you would come into my heart and change my life. I give my life to you. It all belongs to you, Father. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.